You are listening to the podcast of the Connection Point Church. At Connection Point, we exist to connect all people with the life-giving message of Jesus, that they might become loving, growing, fully devoted followers of Christ. We pray that you would enjoy this message.
He is good, and he is greatly to be praised. I used to wonder why, as a child, people would always talk about the goodness of God. But if you live a little while, you will come to discover the goodness of the Lord and how valuable it is in our lives. Well, I'm excited to be here, excited to be worshiping with you today, like I'd be worshiping anywhere else. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord, and it's good to be just in the presence of people who are expecting the same thing from God. Who is looking for something great from God? Not just today, but in their life. Who is looking for something great from God? I am seeking something great from the Lord, and I believe that you are as well. And I'm just excited. Didn't our senior pastor do, or our lead pastor do, a wonderful job on that last series, Power Driven Life? The Lord really moved and deposited some valuable things that I think I will draw upon for the rest of my days. Lord willing, they are many. We're beginning a new series that is entitled This and Us. This is Us. I called my brother yesterday. I was like, I just wanted to make sure I got my head around the real crux of what this series is about. So, you know, I kind of came up with it. Sometimes you have to go back and say, you know, what are we talking about? And we're talking about our lives, who we are, our relationships, our family, and looking at people in the Bible and finding our experiences in them. People all over the world are going to the movies during the weekend, looking at, you know, characters and superheroes and these fictitious stories of people that do these incredible things. And sometimes we can read the Bible and think that they're characters. But the people in the Bible are not characters. They're real people like you and I. And this series will look at the life, the real life of a family, an extended family. And I think we will find ourselves in one or several of the people that we will look at over the coming week. So I'm excited about that. I believe that most people are like me, believe that the dynamics of their life, inclusive of their relationships, the obstacles that they face, even the dreams that one might have, that they're one of a kind. Do you feel like your life is unique and is different than anybody else's life that you know? If you're like me, you thought that no one else could possibly understand my story. Can I get an amen on that? No one on this planet could understand my particular station in life. Has anybody ever felt that way? That what you were going through, what you were experiencing, what you had been through was something that you had never seen in anybody else's life before? Is that anybody's testimony? See, the way we see ourselves, the way we see our relationships, the way we see even God's purpose in our lives, most people consider that to be a private subject matter. And our private nature can be the reason we tend to think that there at times is something especially wrong with me because I'm enduring trials and challenges that I've never seen in anybody else's life before. Can I get an amen? Maybe I'm just talking about me. If that's okay, you're welcome to my life. You'll be entertained today. But just raise your hand if you've ever felt that way. That my life, my experiences, my relationships, my family is unique. It's different. It's one of a kind. And just as we have kept the dynamics of our life private, many others may have kept their life private. And we've been taught to keep family secrets in the vault that is called the Vault of Family Secrets. While sensitive information about our life, about our family, should never be shared recklessly, God does intend for us to grow as a result of real life stories. Real life stories that we share with one another, real life stories that we read in the Bible. And these stories can be referred to as a testimony. Our testimony is our real story, which describes the real us and a real God. What we will discover, I believe, what I am discovering, is that over the next several weeks, we will see the real people who have real lives, and they have found a real God that has done some real things. I know most of you have some concerns about discussing your real story, but don't be alarmed. I won't ask you to share any sensitive or personal information. That's very understandable. Who just does not like their business being out in the street? It's kind of hard today with, you know, Instagram and everything else, like businesses everywhere. But most people don't like all of their business being out in the street. You know, old ladies used to tell younger women, cover your chest up. You're showing all your business. Nobody likes their business being, you know, kind of shared. But the truth of the matter is that there are some interesting things that we get from the stories of other people. Imagine if Moses, Joseph, Paul, Peter, John, Daniel, even Jesus, these are people in the Bible, said, I don't mind you writing about me. I don't mind you telling my story. But just don't bring up the time that I was locked up in jail. Because Jesus was technically locked up when they crucified him. He was under arrest by the Roman government. Or what if David or Job said, you know, we like the fact that you talk about the battles and the wars and the great feats and dancing before the Ark of the Covenant. I like the fact that you showed people that I went through physical suffering and lamenting. I don't even mind you talking about some of my bad decisions, but don't bring up the fact that I had some marital problems. I don't want people knowing my business. But what if Gideon, Elijah, and David again said, we were real men. We were a man's man. Like an Old Spice commercial. Don't you like me? And they said, I don't mind you mentioning how we slain the Philistines or the Midianites. But I don't want you bringing up the fact that I was crying to myself because of fear. David said, my tears are my meat day and night. I don't want you sharing that with no other men because they might think I'm weak. You can write about other stuff, but don't share the fact that I had real fears. See, if we didn't know these people's business, we would never have the 23rd Psalm. We would never know that we could walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. We would never know that his rod and his staff does comfort, that he will lead me beside still waters. We would never know that he will prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. We would never know in Psalm 51 that God can blot out our transgressions. That he can restore our souls. That he can cleanse us from unrighteousness. That God can make us whole again. We would never have Ephesians 6, where Paul says, above all else, take on the whole armor of God. Put it on. That you might have the body armor of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, that There is something where your feet can be shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace. That our loins could be girded about with truth. That says that the belt that you wear is truth. That's what anchors everything together. That you would not know that a shield of faith is something that is very real. That can quench the fiery darts of the devil. You would not know that there is power in the word of God because it is also the sword of the spirit. Truth of the matter is that though we are very different and have lived in different times and have come from different cultures, our experiences and most importantly, our dealings with God are strikingly similar. Somebody say amen. Our main scripture is found in Genesis 12. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6, and we're going to pause a couple places because I got to get you some history as to what is going on, some context. The Bible said, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to a land that I will show you. I don't want to pause right there. Who was Abram's father? Where is he coming from? What's really going on here? So give me about 3 minutes. So Abram's father was a man by the name of Terah. And Terah was the great, 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 great grandson of a man by the name of Shem, who was the son of Moses. And Terah, you've all seen those old men playing Keno at the convenience store, hollering at the young women. Who has ever been hit on by an old man playing Keno at 7-Eleven? Terah was like one of those dudes. He said, Abram, I'm telling you, we're going down to Canaan. We leaving in a month. Pack up the kids, the goats, the cows, the money. We are leaving. Canaan, what's so great about Canaan? You got to understand Canaan. Canaan is like Miami, Las Vegas, and New Orleans all in one city. People do something strange for a piece of change in Canaan. Canaan was all the way lit and live. People did whatever they felt like doing. It was all about money and feeling good. And Terah, though he was an old man, he still had a little bit of fire left in the oven. And he said, we're going to go to Canaan. I'm taking my whole family down there because we can make some money and we can feel good while we're doing it. Well, who was Canaan or the Canaanites? The Canaanites were the descendants of Canaan. They were actually the cousins of Abram and Terah, but who's ever had a crazy cousin before? You know those crazy cousins when they come over for Christmas and your mother's like, where the kids? Where's my purse? Where the gun? Cousins that you can't really spend too much time around because they crazy. Canaan had some interesting tendencies. And I'll be as PG as I can be. Canaan did something kind of foul. As we say in the street, it was cruddy. He took advantage of someone by getting or allowing them to get drunk. Always got to be careful of people that always want you to get drunk. Have another one. The happy hour is have another one. He took advantage of his grandfather. And his grandfather was Noah. Y'all all get the drift when I say he took advantage of him, right? Nothing's new under the sun. I told you the Bible is crazier than Jerry Springer. When Noah awoke from his drunken stupor, he realized what had been done to him. And he cursed Canaan and said, you're going to leave here. And I don't ever want to deal with your kind again. And they became the Canaanites. And these were the crazy cousins that just, they weren't a family. They were just a network of survivors. Did everything that they felt was good. Guess who has roots in Canaan? Sodom and Gomorrah. A lot of idolatry, a lot of, you know, we get it how we live. We do what we feel like doing. And that's where Terah was headed with his family, Abram. But Terah doesn't get there. He stops halfway in a place called Haran. And as he stops there, he dies there. And it's after his death that God speaks to Abram. That's a whole nother message, that sometimes God can't speak to us until some things die in our life. And he goes on to say, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, your father's agenda, and go to the land that I'm going to show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you, make you famous, make your name great. And you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. We are part of that family because we are the spiritual seed of Abraham. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. God never said take Lot, but work with Abram. He's not there yet, but work with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. That's a whole other message. It's never too late to hear from God. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all of his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken in his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. When he arrived in Canaan, they traveled through the land as far as Shechem. Shechem was a city inside of the Canaan area. And there he set up beside the Oak of Moreh. At that time, he was in the area that was inhabited by the Canaanites. There are two points that I really want to focus in on today. And the one point is that all of us receive a call that's similar to the type of call that Abram received. All of us, we all will receive the same type of call from God. God has called, he is calling, and he will call every last person under the sound of my voice right now. God is calling you right now. So you're like, well, how can God all be calling us? We're at different stages and phases of life, different spiritual walks, different decision paths, because God is all calling us with this simple call, go and grow. But there are three versions of this call. The first one is God wants us to go and grow with him. That is the call of salvation. If you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, if you're not walking with the Lord in a relationship, God is making a call for you to go and grow with him. Come go with me, as he said to Peter. I will make you fishers of men. When you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Follow me. The second is go and grow in him. Once you have accepted Christ, God wants you to become spiritually mature. The third one is to go and grow for him. That is the ministry to your family. Ministry by serving in the local church and the ministry in your career. In everything that you do, God has a design for ministry. Ministry is not what I'm doing right now by preaching and teaching. Ministry is literally serving. Serving the world, serving your employer, serving your family. And you're like, well, if I'm serving everybody else, who's serving me? God. And trust me, helpings from God are like Cheesecake Factory helpings. They like four servings. If you're eating all your entree at the Cheesecake Factory, you need some help. We see Peter. God calls him in Matthew 4:19, and he says, come follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Then we see him in Acts 2 being full of the Holy Spirit. God says, come go and grow in me. And then finally we see him preaching and teaching in the council. He is now producing fruit for God. He is going and growing for him. Genesis 12:1 says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Leave your native country and your relatives and your father's family and go to the land that I will show you.'" Question is, when is the last time? Just ask yourself, when is the last time I listened for the call of God? When is the last time you said, "I really have listened for God's voice, God's call as it relates to my life"? Now, if you're like me, maybe you're not like me, but maybe you are. I have found that I typically didn't want to listen to God's voice because I wasn't interested in going or growing. Because staying right here is real comfortable on this couch. I didn't want to go or grow because it meant I had to leave something familiar. And our natural tendency is we want to stay where it's comfortable. But God challenges that. He wants us to go and to grow. When we are not actively listening for God's call, he uses a certain voice that gets our attention. I remember as a kid, my grandmother, like on Wednesdays, right? Yeah, it's Bible study on Wednesdays at this church. I hated going to church on Wednesdays. I hated it. It'd be like 6 o'clock. And you know, in the summertime, 6 o'clock, you still got a lot of sunlight left. And she would be like, "Terrell, it's time to come." I'm like, "I ain't listening to her. I'm not coming." "Don't you hear me calling you? You hear me? I know you hear me." "I'm not going." Till around, she was like, "You know, let me find my switch." Oh, she's serious now. It was time to come because she used a different voice. Because I didn't want to feel that heat from that switch. If you were born after 1988, you're like, "Switch, what's a switch? A light switch?" But somebody know what I'm talking about, that switch. You talk about fire shut up in your bones? That's where the running man came from, the switch. It was that wrist action. It wasn't, it was like, whoosh, whoosh. As soon as you heard the sound, you, ah, yeah, yeah. But God uses a specific voice to get our attention. And the voice that God uses to get our attention is through the losses, the trials, the desires, and the burdens that we are experiencing. Who in here is experiencing a trial right now? Who in here is experiencing a burden right now? Who in here has a serious prayer request right now? Who in here is seeking God for something very important right now? That's the voice that God is using to get our attention. It's the voice that makes us say, "Okay, God, your servant is listening." Because when things is peaches and cream, I'm sorry, the average person just ain't got time to listen to the voice of God. "I got a car to wash. I got a vacation to go on. I got things to do. God, I'll holler at you when I see you." But when things get real, when something rattles you, you know, the razzle dazzle, you ever had something that rattles you? That's when you're like, "God, okay, what's, oh, okay, you got my attention now." And that's what he uses to speak to us. But what I've come to realize, is that in our culture, in our society, in our community, those things can happen, but we've figured out how to put headphones on our souls so that we don't stop God from speaking, but we don't really hear his voice when he speaks. We make our souls noisy by bringing distractions and things that occupy our time and our attention so we don't hear the voice of God. God speaks to us through our experiences. Who remembers that teacher that used to flick the lights on and off and said, "Class, can I get your attention?" Anybody ever have that teacher before? Would flick. Some of you had the clap back teacher, the teacher that was like, "Attention, please. Attention. Young girl, young man, sit in your seat." Sounded like Joe Clark. "Sam, sit in your seat, Sam. Move expeditiously. Go ahead and jump. You're killing your brain cells, son." "I don't want to jump, Mr. Clark." "Yes, you do. You smoke crack, don't you?" "Sing the song, Sam's." That's the voice that God uses to get our attention. But we have to be in a position where we're not so quick to put the headphones on so that we block out the voice from God. If you're experiencing a loss of a loved one, loss of a job, loss of a relationship, a real burden, a financial issue, a desire to find your purpose, right now you are right at the in the middle of hearing the voice of God. And the voice of God is simply saying, go and grow. He's either saying, go and grow for me, go and grow with me, go and grow in me. And it's the same call to all of us. God is making a call, just like he made the call to Abram. Leave Ur of the Chaldeans. Leave that plan your father had. That's not the plan that I have for you. So what you got to understand, I'm going to give you real, real, real quick synopsis of the Old Testament, right? So God always intended for Israel to be established in the land of Canaan, but he knew Israel was not ready to occupy the land of Canaan. Because if Abram had gone to Canaan the way he was, that Canaan would have got up in him. And we know that because Canaan never really got out of Israel until Jesus came. Who's ever heard the term Baal, the false god Baal in the Old Testament? Who's heard that term? Asherah, these idols and cults. There were more than several occurrences where God said, get those Canaanites out of your community. And Israel's like, I heard you, but we're just going to keep them around as workers. That's like dudes that will hold on to that picture of that old girlfriend. I'm not getting nobody in trouble. Ooh, it's quiet. Let it go. Not willing to let go of the past. And Israel never did. And you know what? They kept getting dragged into idolatry by the Canaanites. Dragged into false worship by the Canaanites. Dragged in Samson. Guess where Delilah came from? Them Canaanites. Those crazy cousins that you just couldn't stop fooling with. So they weren't ready. Abram wasn't ready. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, none of them were ready. They go through 400 years of slavery in Egypt, still not ready. Go through the wilderness, still not ready. Cross the Jordan. They still fooling with the Canaanites. They raised judges up. Othniel, Samson, Gideon. Still fooling with them Canaanites. They get a king. The descendants of those kings. Saul, David, Solomon, Jeroboam, Rehoboam. They still end up fooling with them Canaanites. Then they get taken back into captivity by the Babylonians. Still fooling with false gods. God was like, okay, I got to send my own son down here to fix this scenario. So God never intended for Israel to intermingle with the Canaanites. But sometimes God tells us to do stuff and we like, I know better. And that's why he said, I don't want you to go to Canaan right now. Though it's what I promised, you're not ready for it. And there's some things that God has promised us, but because we're not ready to really walk in it successfully, he has to keep us outside until we get ready. There used to be a day you couldn't come to the dinner table until you got washed up. Who remember having to get washed up? I see people in public places. I'm like, you just going to eat like that? You're not going to wash your hands? And that's what God is doing in our lives. He's getting us ready to occupy the things that he has designed for us to occupy. And sometimes that's an uncomfortable process. He's making the call for us to go and grow. The second point is that we all are promised the same type of vision from God. Not only do we have the same type of call from God, we're promised the same type of vision from God. As Abram listened to the voice of God, he received a vision for his life. Look at what Genesis 2 says, or 12:2. He says, I will make you into a great nation. Now, this was only after he said, leave your father's house, your families, and your relatives, and go to a land that I will show you. Then I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. I'll make your name great. And you will be a blessing to others. I will bless you, bless those who bless you, and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. We are living in a culture today in which most people are living without a real vision for their lives. Proverbs 29 says that where there is no vision, the people perish. They cast off restraint. But when they find and meditate on the law of God and on his instructions, they find happiness and blessings. We are living in a society in which most people are letting life happen to them instead of taking action based on a vision for them. Just, you know, life, you know, good things happen, we respond. Bad things happen, we respond. We just go day to day responding to fires. Have you ever felt like you went through a day like that? It was like, what's my purpose? Is the purpose of life just to wake up and deal with what it throws at you? Or is there a vision that is guiding you and pushing you and driving you? Where there is no vision, the people perish. When God uses his attention-getting methods, don't put on the headphones to drown out his voice, because if you do, you'll never get a vision from God. God is calling us, but many cannot hear his voice because we've made our souls noisy with the headphones of this world, blocking out the truth and blocking in a lie. Do you know why they play music in restaurants? Does anybody know why they play music in restaurants? Have you ever gone to a restaurant and be like, I wish they would turn this music down? They play music in restaurants because they're trying to influence your decisions. Some music will actually make you spend more money than what you normally would. If they lay out white linen tablecloths and they play classical music, they can charge you $38.57 for that steak instead of the Applebee's price of $19.95. They're trying to paint an atmosphere to get you to spend more money. If you notice, restaurants that have that high energy, like if you go into a Chipotle or, you know, Qdoba, it's like, ding, 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 ding. They want you to hurry up and get out because they don't want you tying up space in that line. All of this is deception. Do you know there's certain music that they can play to actually make you think the food is better than what it really is? to spend money that you wouldn't normally spend, to eat faster than what you normally would eat, all because the music is creating a deception on what is really going on. And when we put headphones on our souls, we are playing music that is deceiving us. It's deceiving us on what life is really all about, on why I'm here, what I should be doing with my time, my resources, what my family should be doing, the decisions that I make. If we are not hearing the truth, and real truth can only come from God Himself, then the framework, the guidance, the instructions that we are using for our life are founded upon a lie. And when people don't have a vision, sometimes they will substitute the standards of this world as a poor man's choice of vision. Let me help you. Let me help you understand. Who's ever felt a little lost or wayward, confused regarding the direction of their life? If you did not raise your hand, I'll pray for your lying spirit. Because we all get confused at times. We all wonder, like, what is going on? I'm just going to stay in the bed today. You ever had those days where you're like, tomorrow hopefully will be better? Hopefully you weren't at work when you did that. We all get confused and like, well, God, what are you really saying? What's the direction that you want me to go in? What's the plan that you have for me? But when we don't get a vision from God, we will use the standards of this world. And the standards are, well, let me see what the brother in the gray suit is doing. And his wife, she's doing something. So if I could do three things that he's doing and two things that she's doing and one thing that he's doing, then I'm going to be happy. And guess what? Sometimes we do it. And sometimes we do it and we get all these things and we get there and we're like, this wasn't it. Has that ever happened to you? Because the world standards aren't real, because they keep changing. You know why they keep changing? Because they change because they want you to keep spending money. I remember back in the day, boy, if you had an 88 Cressida, you were balling. That was the standard that you have arrived. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen, Brother Sean? You was balling. Then like it seemed like the next year you had to have a Volvo. Now you're going to a Swedish import. Now the Volvo wasn't enough. You had to have a BMW. Now how are you 17 years old? Because the bomb girls was only fooling with dudes that had the cars. Western's fashion show was like a Vegas car show. Who remembers that back in the day? You want to get put in an instant low self-esteem? Go to Western's fashion show between 1985 and 1995. You have not arrived. Not right. It's still probably like that. You will get your feelings hurt. And what does that say to a young man? The only way you can get there is either rob the Federal Reserve or start dealing drugs. That's not a real solution. So when we don't have a vision from God, we will look at the standards of this world and substitute it for one. You see, these women, I've got to look like this Instagram model, so I got to go get some injections in my posterior. I got to bleach my skin. I got to go get something done to what's going on. I got to look like what I see. We've been altered by filters and all kinds of things. It's not real. When we don't have a vision, we'll use the world's substitutes. And they keep raising the game. You can never get there because it keeps going higher and higher and higher. But when you have a vision from God, that is something. See, a vision is weird. Vision will keep you grounded and it'll lift you up at the same time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because if you're like me, you got that crazy side. Vision will keep you on the ground, keep you from going off doing something crazy. But it'll also keep you from staying in the ditches of depression and saying, you better than this. You God's child. It's time to move on from the land of Ur and go to a land that God is going to show you. Just as with Abram, God has a ready vision for each one of us, for you, for me, for your family, for your children. And God's vision includes blessing us with significant resources that are to make significant impacts. Each and every one of you and me, God's vision includes blessing us with significant resources in order to make a significant impact. What are the resources that I'm talking about? The first resource that there's not amount of money in the world that can equal the value of this resource. It is grace. Grace is undeserved favor. It is the benefit of having the King of Glory on your side, who controls the hearts of important people, who controls the resources of this world. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. And that guy is on your side. The second significant resource is wisdom. I have never seen more educated people in a culture that are dumber than a box of rocks. I would demand to get my money back if I was somebody. If I've spent $50,000 getting an advanced degree and you are dumb as a can of paint, there's something wrong here. Because the second resource is wisdom. And wisdom is understanding beyond your ability, beyond your knowledge, beyond what you have taken in. Don't get tricked into thinking that this world's knowledge is better than God's wisdom. Because God's wisdom will solve some problems that'll have people perplexed. What kind of credit does the world really have? Look at our election process. Look at the volatility of our markets. Look at our communities. Look at the decisions that we collectively make as a society. Would you trust us if you were an alien and came to Earth and said, oh, it's time to go back home? We're not that smart. And the information that somebody else is giving us, it may be good, but it can't equate to what God can give you. Because he's the creator of the whole shebang. The Bible says, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. He created the heavens and the earth. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the waters of the deep. That dude is on your side. And all of the knowledge and all of the information and all of the insight, the Bible says, if you lack wisdom, ask me and I'll give it to you. But you gotta really want it for the right reasons. These are the insights and the assets that God wants to give us. Grace, wisdom, and an anointing. The power to do things that are beyond your natural capability. The favor of the Lord that will move mountains. These are the things that God has given all of us. These are the significant resources that you and I have. But when you're, hear me, when you keep those headphones on your soul, you will never come to know or appreciate the resources that you already have. You know what drives my wife crazy? Is when I go to the grocery store and buy something that we already have. Does anybody ever do that before? I think we got like 17 bottles of garlic powder. She's praying for me. Anybody else done that before? I didn't think we had it. And you know why? Because we didn't check the inventory before we made a purchase. And I'm trying to say, before you make a decision, check the inventory that God has already given you. Check the resources that God has blessed you with. Check the wisdom that God has already given you. Before you get jealous of what somebody else has, look in your own cupboard and find value in the resources that God has blessed you with. Play your game. There are supernatural things which God has placed in you and before you, but you got to take the headphones off to hear the voice of God, to get a vision from God. It's not an option. You can't live successfully without a vision from God. And the tragic truth is that people either have the wrong vision or have no vision at all. And we can't substitute vision from God with the standards of this world. The world's standards are not real. They're designed to change fast and frequently for a reason. And I'm closing with this scripture because it gives us some insight. Jesus is speaking in a parable, and he's comparing the word of God to a seed. And he says, the seed that fell, the promise, the vision, that fell among the thorns represents people, listen, who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the headphones of life, by the worries of life, the lure of wealth. So what those headphones are, we either worrying, God, how this gonna work out? How this gonna work out? Or I know how it's gonna work. I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, I'm gonna do the other thing, it worked for them, I'm gonna do that. Did God tell you to do that? The vision, the message from God, it's drowned out because of either the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. You know what the real Canaanites issue was? I'm going to help you out here for a second. It helped me. Most people think Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of homosexuality. Who thinks that, right? All right. That was a byproduct of some things. Their deviance was a byproduct of some things. Or their sexual promiscuity was a byproduct of things. It was greed and pride and the fact that they would not take care of the people that were around them. When we get caught up into the lure of wealth and the desire for things, it's going to lure us into the thinking of the Canaanites. And when you start going on that track, you open up your soul to all kinds of things. Do you know them people said, we saw some angels come from heaven. We don't want the women. Give us the angels. They were going to kick down the door because they wanted the angels. I told you the Bible is crazier than Jerry Springer. It's crazier than Maury Povich. This is what they kind of came to. And the book of Ezekiel says, this is why God destroyed your cousins in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's because of their pride. Pride opens up the door to all kinds of crazy lifestyles and crazy decisions. Because we think, oh, what does the Bible say? There are three types of sin. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and what? The pride of life. Yes, I have arrived. I'm Superman. Give him to me. I'm telling you, there's nothing more dangerous. This is real talk. There is nothing more dangerous to think that we are stronger, better, and more capable than what we really are. Because we're not that good. At least I'm not that good. But when you think that you are above reproach, above being taught something, above learning something, above growing, above changing, Woo! We all are promised the same. And he says the words of this life and the lure of wealth and the desire for things. So no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. God's vision for our life will always produce fruit that is greater than us. God's vision for our life is always to be successful. Nobody has been given a vision to fail. You know why you can't trust the world system? Because they'll come up with some contrived, idiotic thing, says, well, we only need high schoolers to read at a sixth grade reading level. Y'all know why that hustle goes down that way? You know why they keep changing grading standards? Can I tell y'all something for a second? It's about money. Y'all listening? Most school systems get subsidized by the state government, who also gets subsidized by the federal government. And if you don't have a need for something, you can't get the money. So they change the standards to show the need, so they keep getting the money. Y'all follow what I'm saying? If we show that we have to have more people in special education, then we've got to create a standard that says these amount of people need to be in special education. If we say, well, you need to be set aside for doing this, that's to keep a program running. Somebody's getting paid doing that. The whole war on drugs is about money. You can't have a product in the warehouse without a product. You can't have a warehouse without a product. We need people in the warehouse. So we create laws that drive people to the warehouse. That's the world standard. When you're trying to adopt that is the ugliness of the world that we live in. And it's not partisan, it's not political, it's human nature. And the only thing that can solve really our problems is the wisdom from God. Because it's pure, as the Bible says. Can't be corrupted. You will produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much that has been planted. If you're looking for good success, get a vision from God. You want to lead your family in the right direction, you need to get a vision from God. You want to lead your life in a better direction, you need a vision from God. You want to get out of the repetitive cycle of what you're going through, you need a vision from God. The vision is to go and grow in Him, go and grow with Him, or go and grow for Him. God is speaking to all of us today. What is He asking you? He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Will you go and grow? Will you leave this familiar place, these standards that are not serving you? Will you come and go with me? Because I'll give you abundant life. He told one woman, he said, if you drink of my water, you'll never be thirsty again. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I'll exchange your mourning for a garment of praise. Your strength will come out of your weakness if you just lean on me. If you just believe that, you know, you don't have all the answers, if you just come and seek me, I'll give you wisdom. I will speak to you with the unsearchable riches of my knowledge, and I'll give it to you. If that's you, just raise your hand as we pray. Every eye closed. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that your word has come and it has fallen on ground that has been fertile or made fertile by our desire and our need for you. I pray that we would put the headphones on the shelf for a while and listen to the voice of God. That we would hear what you want to say to us. That we're willing to leave this place of comfort and go to a land that you will show us. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness, your keeping power, for the resources of your grace, your wisdom, and your anointing. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that you've been blessed by today's message. We would love to connect with you. Please visit us online at theconnectionpoint.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Look for CXP Church. Have a blessed day.